It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
All right, we're trying to reach our pastor for this segment. This is our Ask a Pastor segment, where we're trying to get some answers from our pastors. And
hello,
Pastor Ngwenya, can you hear me? Okay, is it better now, Pastor? Pastor, can you hear me? Can I try you on the WhatsApp line, perhaps, if this direct line is not working? All right. Pastor Ngwenya, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi, Pastor. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. But
lovely. Lovely. All right.
Basically.
Okay.
Hello.
Yes, yes. So our
question... Who are you?
This is AWR. This is AWR, Pastor.
Where are you from?
Adventist World Radio, Pastor. You are scheduled to answer a question on Adventist World Radio?
Okay. Yes. I remember.
Okay.
Oh, no.
All right.
Okay, yeah. I remember.
All right. Welcome,
Pastor. I'm in a church, but you can speak.
Lovely. Thank you very much for picking up your call, Pastor. So our question for today, as you know, is God racist?
Let me just give you a direct answer and say that, no, he can't be racist, because how he views humanity is different as to how we view each other.
Okay.
We don't view each other as a community, but when he sees us, he sees a big community. So he's never racist.
Yeah.
And anyone can identify with him. A Hindu calls him Buddha. Islam, they call him Allah. Christianity calls him God. And etc. So those are people who are on a quest trying to unpack and then unravel who is the supreme being. But unfortunately, the language that is being used is what we call anthropomorphic language. We are using human figures to try and unpack the supreme being.
So
but when it comes to racism and racism,
right?
Those are human constructed.
Let's follow that train of thought, Pastor, and perhaps give you some examples that could lead one to believe that perhaps God is racist. We have an example of God who gives instructions to the Israelites at Mount Sinai through the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Numbers and the book of Leviticus. One of those examples of these is when God instructs that for you, as my nation, you shall not have your daughters being prostitutes. God does not say, I don't want prostitution. He simply says, your daughters and your sons should never be prostitutes. He does not forbid, in those instructions, he does not forbid prostitution. We see Judah, the father of the Jews, Judah. He goes and sleeps with a woman, freely sleeps with a woman that he thought or he believed to be a prostitute. No condemnation there. But as for the children of Israel becoming prostitutes, God is against that. We see Samson, a judge during the era of the judges, who frequents prostitutes from time to time, no problem. But God forbids that the children of Israel should be prostitutes. Why is God so comfortable that every other nation can have their children becoming prostitutes, but not the children of Israel? Isn't that racism, Pastor?
No, it was for them to be an exemplary. Because their mission, even when they were leaving Egypt, their mission was
why would God say,
certain other nation.
Why would God not say, like he did with the Ten Commandments and other commandments, he says, you shall not commit adultery. And the commandment is not only for the children of Israel, but for the issue of prostitution, which breaks my heart, Mfundisi, is that God specifically says, your children, there should not be a prostitute in the house of Israel. With the other commandments, he doesn't say it. This is specifically for the house of Israel. It's for everyone. But for the issue of prostitution, God seems comfortable that prostitution can happen in other nations, but not in the house of Israel. Why is God insisting that the Ten Commandments are for everyone, but for the prostitution part, not for the house of Israel?
Because he wanted Israel to be exemplary to other nations as to what he wants.
But that example applies with the Ten Commandments,
because,
isn't it, Pastor?
Look, we can try it further, and then we say, let's go to the NT, which is the New Testament. Look at him spending time with prostitutes. And when in the Christian language, when you see Jesus, you see God's heart. That's God's heart.
But God, Jesus never gives any instructions like that, Pastor. Jesus is very inclusive.
No. What I'm trying to say, what you are not following me here, is that in the Old Testament, he's building a nation. That is why he even allowed them to go to Babylon, because now there was too much apostasy. They had now begun indulging in such things. Okay. Now they had missed the mark. Okay.
I'm not following, Pastor.
Hello. I'm saying he was building a nation.
And he was not building everybody else. He didn't care to build everybody else.
He wanted them to be exemplary. Yes, he wanted them to be exemplary. If he said he does not want to, because he wanted Judah, he wanted not even Judah, he wanted Israel to show other nations how his will is to be done in this world. Because we can take the argument further and say, in the Old Testament he is saying this, but then in the New Testament, he does the opposite. In the New Testament, we find him spending time with drunkards. We find him by Jacob well, waiting for the woman who kept exchanging man.
I'm not sure I follow, Pastor.
It's much more of a very theologically dense a topic. If you can follow from their Exodus, it's the Exodus. You see, even in Kings, they were ruled by kings, God had never designed Israel to have a king. They were judges. But because of their
God never designed them to have judges either, Pastor.
No. He did. Because
you're never going to find that in your Bible, Mfundisi. There's nowhere where you're going to find that. God designed a man to rule up over himself and his household. There was never a design in Scripture where a man is going to rule over another man. Where are you going to find that?
No, I'm saying you are not following me, my leader.
Okay.
I'm saying to you, from the get-go, go back. That's what I always say to my audience. Seemingly, we read things rushing. Okay? We rush when we read. Moses was being overwhelmed by the cases that what people were bringing to him. And God said, no, Moses, have people who are going to assist you. And those people, we call them judges. And from judges, Israel then looked at other nations, which was not their mandate. Their mandate was not to look at other nations. Their mandate was to spread the gospel. So when he says keep away from prostitutes, it's because he wants the entire global, the entire cosmos to understand that prostitution was not designed by him.
When you're saying he wanted Israel to be exemplary, why would he design laws that would include everybody and some laws that are exclusive only to Israel.
Which were those?
For example, the law of prostitution. The law of prostitution is exclusive to Israel.
You see,
but
now,
every other law...
You are pitching a tent on one thing. It should be very difficult for you to understand because you've already made up your mind.
I'm giving you an opportunity for you to change that mind.
Prostitution is one of the things that you have pitched your tent on. You see, what I'm saying is, there was much more.
Let me give you another example.
You see, when
Let me give you another example so that you don't feel like I'm pitching. Let me give you a second example, Mfundisi, so that you don't feel like I'm pitching a tent on prostitution. God gives an instruction that the children of Israel are going
logic.
To suck.
Okay, let's just use logic. When you come to your house, you have a wife and a family. Don't you have rules in your home?
Yes, Mfundisi.
Of course you'll have rules.
Right.
Even when there's a visitor, you'll say to the visitor, they must feel most welcome. And what if you find in your house and you find the visitor smoking cigarettes? Obviously, you'd be offended. But
right.
You are the one who said to the visitor, they must feel at home.
Right.
Okay. So what I'm trying to highlight to you is that in the Old Testament, God is building a nation. You need to understand that, and everyone, they had to learn from them to be exemplary. Now, again, I want to go back with you and show you that a language he's using there is what you call an anthropomorphic language. There are so many other things that happened in the Old Testament. It was genocide. The Old Testament.
Remember, Pastor, we're trying to understand the issue.
Why not think about the genocide?
Pastor, we're talking about racism.
Where you command Israel to go in and kill.
Pastor?
You see, that's why I'm saying you are pitching a tent on what? On
okay.
Prostitution.
All right. Remember,
I'm
Pastor,
saying,
our focus
again.
Is...
I'm saying to you...
Don't repeat it, Pastor.
He is making a nation, he's building a nation, and the nation must be an example.
Okay. So remember, Pastor,
see,
our question is about
because of them entertaining those other things. That's why they ended up where in Babylon. But
okay.
In fact, in Babylon, God had also even relocated there with them. But now, let's go back to the New Testament, and we find God spending time with prostitutes. Are we then saying God is racist? Because you see, when you look at Jesus, you must see that Jesus is God's heart. And in Jesus Christ, Jesus is showing humanity where he is.
Mfundisi.
We find him spending time with drunkards.
Pastor.
That's why he was called the drunkard and the gluten, because he was always associated that with that which was opposite to what they believed in.
Yeah, he said that.
So
by
he crushes
the
expectations. He crushes their religiosity. He crushes everything. That is why they could not accept him when he said he's the Son of God. For them, they were waiting for a person who's going to usurp and take the seat of David.
Okay.
But here's someone who's opposite.
Pastor, remember, our focus is on racism. And my question...
Yes,
and,
I'm trying to show...
Yeah, let me just finish this point.
Again, later. Let's talk about racism.
Hold on, Pastor. just a minute. Let me just clarify this so that you understand what it is that you're answering. So the example I gave is just one example. There is what we can say the issue and the example... to the issue. So the issue of prostitution is an example to the issue. I'll give you another example, but that is not the issue. It's an example to the issue. God decides that he is going to have signs of a covenant with a nation of Israel, which is circumcision that he instituted with Abraham. My question is, why would God want a sign of a relationship with him to be only with the nation of Israel? Does that mean everyone else...
No, that's a problem.
Hold on, Pastor.
That's a problem.
Listen to the question, Pastor, before you answer it. Does it mean if we know that circumcision is a sign of a covenant between God and his people, those who don't circumcise according to the Old Testament, does it mean that they are not God's people? God is against those people.
Do you believe in that? Do you believe in that?
But do you understand the question, Pastor?
Now I'm asking you that question. Do you believe in that?
Mfundis, do you understand the question?
Yes, I understand the question. That's okay. Why I'm asking you the question. I will answer the question. That's why I'm asking you the question. Do you still believe in that?
When you say still, you're presupposing that there was a time I did. That's a false premise also.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say is, the thing is, you are focusing much more on the events of the Old Testament.
Yes.
And
yes.
You are not focusing on God.
You don't
Christ
know God, sir. You cannot possibly claim to know God. The only way you can understand God, you cannot possibly claim to know God. There is no human being that knows God. We know the events.
We can't know God, but we can know him through Jesus. Because Jesus is a figure of God.
There was no Jesus in the Old Testament, Pastor. It's the only events that
I'm
we
saying,
see
you,
that help
focused,
us understand.
That's what I'm saying, my leader. You are focusing much more on the Old Testament. Now I'm asserting you to a new perspective of God who is in Christ. And again, let me say this again. We are looking at racism from a very apologetic premise, because if we want to talk about racism, we must make it contextual and bring it back to our own state and to our own sovereignty.
I'm sorry?
Did God choose white people to dominate over black people?
Wow.
Now, that is, you see, we are now being contextual about racism.
Pastor, That cannot possibly be true.
I was told this 10 minutes.
Yes, Pastor.
Probably, let's say this. Let me say this. Probably, this could be a topic that you can try to unpack the entire week. Because
no,
we can't speak. You see, we shouldn't speak about things that are lofty, that are up there. We must bring them down. Did God? Okay, if I can ask you a question. To which God are white people praying to? Is it a white God or a black God?
There is no color to a God, Pastor. Surely you know this.
Exactly, precisely. That's why I'm saying, if you want to understand God and the decisions that he took in the Old Testament, I'm repeating again, in the Old Testament is building a nation, but now the responsibility that has and the events that have occurred and had occurred in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, at the cross, it rectifies. That's justice. That is just the justice of God.
I'm sorry.
What does he say to Timothy? He said to Timothy, there's neither Jew nor Gentile to him. There's neither Greek nor Hebrew. There's neither male nor female.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Because it would be very difficult for you to understand the portrait of God in the Old Testament if you are running away and you do not want to look at Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because Jesus Christ is the one who unites now, who sees, who breaks down the barriers of ethnicity, who breaks down the barriers of religion, because it was a cultural religious thing that they were doing by doing what? By cutting off their foreskin. Are you trying to tell me that today, if I do not cut my foreskin, then I miss eternity? It would be absurd, because all of those things, when Christ said it is finished, all of those things, even at the cross, it's as if Christ is saying to humanity, I'm sorry.
Okay, Mfundis.
From way back in the Old Testament, let me ask you this question again. Why would God say Israel should not associate themselves with prostitutes? Yet when they're going to spy in the land of Canaan...
He never said that, Pastor.
They are hidden. They are hidden in a prostitute
God
house.
God never said Israel should never associate themselves with the prostitute. He said the daughters
and
sons of...
That's what he's trying
to imply. No, this, the verse says the daughters and sons of Israel should never become prostitutes.
That's why I want us to make this. You see, the topic you have chosen about racism is a very deep topic, and it's embedded in hurt, and there's resentment in most people about the events of racism. That's why I'm saying to you, if we come back home and we become contextual and we speak about racism in our own backyard, you know, we are opening up a can of worms.
Sure.
Because still today, white people, a huge chunk, 90% of white people do not associate with black people, but they are Adventists.
What are we talking about now, Vinis?
That is racism. Do we go far and address issues? Yet we should read the text and apply the text to what is happening, to the racism that is taking place even in the church today.
Sure.
White people have their own come meeting.
Mfundi, so what are we talking about now?
I'm talking about racism.
But you're telling me about white people now.
Racism cannot just be a concept.
Wait,
a concept
Mfundis.
That we need to speak of it because it's the reality.
No, Mfundis, no. I want us to be clear. This show, live, and this radio station, we have no issue with white people. We have no issue with black people. And I do not...
Wait.
And the question that we are asking is not about white people or black people. The question that was asked was saying, is God racist? And the whole idea...
God, and I'm saying to you, God is not racist. How God views a Christian and how God views a Hindu, he's never racist.
And so the purpose of the conversation is so that you can share with us texts and theological perspectives that will help us understand whether God is or not racist. We are not here to alienate any nation, whether it is white or black.
What I would not do is to massage this thing because it still has an impact today.
Okay. Okay.
So we cannot massage such topics, you know, When we speak about racism, we must attack racism from left, right, and center.
Yeah. Look, Mfundis, I can respect...
Because even when Luke is writing to Theophilus, he is writing on that. He was also concerned about such things when Luke is writing for Theophilus. He says the barriers should be broken down.
No, Mfundis, no. Let's agree, Mfundis, that I will give you an opportunity. You seem to have a lot that you can teach us, and I want to learn from you. May I request that perhaps, or when we're done here, I can call you off air and we can schedule a program for 2 hours to unpack the issue of racism. Is that okay, Mfundis? For another day on a Sabbath afternoon.
Probably that could be much better.
Okay.
If we do that.
Okay,
because
Mfundis.
We cannot just speak about racism and just point at God and say, but God is saying it also. Okay. Sermon. We need to move.
I hear you,
Genesis to Revelation, it's about God's justice.
I hear you. My time is up, and I've been trying to
rein
you in.
We don't have time for our viewer, our hearers.
Indeed, Mfundis. So I'm going to part ways with you, Mfundis, and then perhaps try this again tomorrow. So the other questions that you have there with you, Mfundis, for the rest of the week. So the idea is for you to help us with the textual perspective, both in the Old and in the New Testament. So that 10 to 15 minutes is intended for you to unpack textually what the Bible says and how we conclude any of the positions we may conclude on based on the text. So we are looking for you to not necessarily to do an application as you're trying to do now. We need you to just to do an exegesis of the text and offer some hermeneutic. No eisegesis. We are not looking for eisegesis, just exegesis and hermeneutic.
We don't need the proof text method here. We are not dealing with proof text. I want us. That's why I'm saying if probably we can adopt this subject the entire week.
No, Mfundisi. We are going to give you a full 2 hours on a Saturday afternoon. You can unpack it. But these questions that you have been given are from listeners, and so my job is to try and get you to answer those questions. So we can't adopt this one alone for the whole week. Is that okay, Mfundisi?
Okay.
Okay.
I'm fine with it. That's what I'm saying. Even with myself, I'm moving from this point to this point. I'm trying to extrapolate from here and here.
Okay.
At the end of the day.
Okay.
It's not
a problem. Let's try that tomorrow. Yeah. So tomorrow you'll answer the other questions that you have been given. Is that okay, Mfundisi? You have four remaining questions, so we'll restrict ourselves to just those. And the verse I was talking about is found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 29. It says, "Do not degrade your daughter by making her a prostitute, or the land will turn to prostitution and be filled with wickedness." So that's the text I was referring to. It says nothing of the sort, as you were suggesting, but we can discuss all of that. When we have our 2 hour conversation.
Yeah, and I was also referring to God in Christ at the cross when he says settle it tight.
Okay.
All is continues.
Okay.
But we can that 2 hours it's a privilege for me.
Lovely.
For the
lovely
2 hours.
Lovely. We'll do that, Mfundisi. I appreciate it. Ngosi Mfundisi, have a wonderful day. See you tomorrow.
Thanks to the listeners also.
Ngosi Mfundisi.
It's a very tense topic.
Yeah, I'm sure it can be much simpler. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day further. Go to
likewise, bless, and thank you for listening also.
All right, bye.